Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast. It is Monday, August the 7th, 2017. Pittsburgh Steelers training camp rolls on, and Sunday night they were at Heinz Field for Family Fest, and Alex Cazorra was there along with photographer Tim Rice, who's done an outstanding job over the course of training camp this year, so we want to give him a quick shout out as well. Alex, happy Monday and day off for the Steelers. Not really a day off for us, but at least you get to stay at home in mom's basement today.
Day off for, yeah, for the McLumina, which is probably good. She needs to rest. Yeah, but at high school, it was a really cool environment. You know, I prefer it in Latrobe because I'm a training camp snob. I think I tweeted that out last night. But $10 tickets for some really good seats, a really cool atmosphere. I think the official attendance was, what, about 18,000. So it was a really good crowd, great weather. You can't complain.
Absolutely, and the Steelers had quite a few players sit out the Sunday night session, so why don't you start things off by rolling over that long list?
Yeah, it is an extensive list for sure. Mike Mitchell's still out, Cam Sutton's still out, no surprises there. They could still be, you know, a week or so away. Keon Adams with what I believe was a left shoulder injury. Golson's still out. Huguenin, who we, you know, may have suffered a concussion yesterday. He was out. Artie Burns still out. Shazier, Dupree, Mike Matthews. Pouncey, probably a rest day for him. It's pretty physical practice, so, you know, good idea to get Pouncey out. No Landry Jones still. Stephon Tuitt. DeMarcus Ayers was a new one that popped up. Not sure what's going on there. James Conner were all out. I saw Greg Ducray in pads. I'm still pretty sure he's not in team drills, so he's got to be close, but I don't think he's all the way there just yet. Harrison did suit up in pads and got a lot of work in individual, but I'm pretty sure I didn't see him in team. If anyone did, let me know. But I think he still kind of got his normal, you know, practice workload.
Well, and the thing about Harrison, Mike Tomlin talked after practice about taking the wraps off him. This sounds like it was kind of par for the course last year, right? Because I went back and looked at the preseason snap numbers, and Harrison played in the first three preseason games. Obviously sat out the finale against the Panthers, as most starters do, and he played something, I think, like 43, 44 snaps during the preseason. So it probably wouldn't be surprising. Look, I mean, Sunday and then you have Monday off. Probably wouldn't be unusual to see James Harrison working, you know, ramping it up a little bit maybe on Tuesday and Wednesday.
It could be. You know, Tomlin said he'll play it by ear, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see Harrison go back kind of into his bubble and get kind of Tuesday and Wednesday as lighter days. Because do you think he's going to play against the Giants? I don't think he will.
Well, I mean, he played. My memory at first said no, he did not play last year, but I went back and looked at that game against the Lions last year, and he did play like 10 snaps. So,
okay.
I mean, yeah, it definitely could go either way, and if he did play, we'd probably only see him for seven to ten snaps. So obviously, they're just starting to ramp him up. So take that for whatever it's worth. Tomlin didn't go over any injuries after practice was over Sunday night, but there was a report later in the evening by Jeremy Fowler saying that Artie Burns thinks he might be back on Tuesday, so we'll keep our fingers crossed there. If he's able to practice Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, probably odds are pretty good he'll get some limited action in the game, preseason game against the Giants as well. Not much to report otherwise, you know, when it comes to injuries. And, you know, obviously we're not going to see a lot of these guys like Sutton and Golson and Mitchell. I'd go ahead and count on him being out. Who else should we probably count on being? James Conner, probably not looking too good unless he can get back on the practice field Tuesday. So, I mean, there's going to be a, you know, long list of players, either A, because they're veterans and don't need to work, or B, because they're injured that don't play Friday against the Giants.
Yeah, I would expect a pretty long list of guys out, but that's a great opportunity for the young guys to get work. You know, someone like T.J. Watt, you know, we're all going to circle Juju Smith-Schuster. We'll see what Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, tell us. A lot of these guys that have missed time are going to have to probably get work both Tuesday and Wednesday to have a chance. And, you know, we'll see what happens when we get back at it tomorrow.
Okay, you know, being as how David Todd and I aren't doing a podcast today because there's no sense really doubling up real quick like we're doing today, having to carry over from a late Sunday night there. So let's go over a few items that that I wrote about specifically on the site yesterday. Some things John Mitchell had said during an interview on Steelers Nation Radio. None of it's you know, anybody that listens to this podcast and reads your practice recaps, none of this will probably come to us as a surprise, but it's worth noting. And as I always say, it's always good to hear it from the horse's mouth. And you know, what better horse's mouth than you know, John Mitchell's, you know, the defensive line coach. And all this relates to you have written quite a bit about how LT Walton has been running as a second team nose tackle almost exclusively throughout training camp so far. And, you know, Mitchell, you know, basically did confirm that during his talk on Steelers Nation Radio, and he explained why LT Walton was moved and how, you know, in order for him to get a helmet, you know, this year, it's going to be important for him to play both the end and nose tackle position. You know, he might have been a little bit of hyperbole there when talking about how well Walton played down the stretch last year. But, I mean, like it or not, I mean, Walton did make improvement last year, and especially I thought against the run. Specifically, even though, you know, he didn't play all that many snaps. And of course, I think we heard Keith Butler talk about late last year about Walton and how, you know, he probably needs to start attacking more half man instead of, you know, just trying to run right up the middle of offensive linemen as well too. But you know, here's what I took away from this whole thing, and it wasn't hard to do, and you're probably going to feel the same way. LT Walton is probably going to be the team's fifth defensive lineman there, behind, you know, obviously starters Hayward, Tuitt, Javon Hargrave, and Tyson Alualu. And then, wow, you know, he mentioned Daniel McCullers in the interview and really just mentioned it to the fact that Walton and McCullers are going to do battle the rest of the way. But all of this is really, which once again is no surprise, that Daniel McCullers' days in Pittsburgh are probably very, very numbered at this point, and this could be a good sign for Johnny Maxey potentially being the sixth defensive lineman.
Right. If you're looking in-house, you know, and you're looking for a sixth defensive lineman, and they almost always keep six, Maxey would be that guy. There's just no other really even option right now. And Maxey, I think, is having a nice camp, added some weight, a little better as a pass rusher. I'm sure he's stronger at the point of attack. But, you know, we can get into practice, you know, what happened yesterday a little bit later if you want, Dave. But speaking of Walton, he had probably one of his better practices yesterday. The whole defensive line did, you know, blowing up the second team O-line and getting some penetration on some zone runs and forcing the play wide. So, you know, Walton was never much of a pass rusher. I think he had, I want to say, zero pressures, I think, all of last year. I forget what the number was, but it was a super low number that just showed he's a run stuffer. He's not going to really give you anything as a pass rusher. So I think it was a smart idea to move him to the nose. And in this day and age of nose tackles not having to be 340 pounds, you know, Walton being, quote unquote, undersized for the nose doesn't really mean anything anymore. So I thought it was a logical fit. He does stuff the run well. You know, for the nose tackle, he's kind of an above average athlete, you know, relative to the position. And he's going to beat out McCullers.
If you know, obviously McCullers being on the outside looking in, or so we think, you know, God forbid there's an injury to, you know, a player ahead of him, not named Hargrave or LT Walton, still doesn't mean McCullers will make this roster. They could easily go on the outside and pick up, you know, somebody else that could potentially give them a game day inactive extra defensive end, if you will.
Right. I mean, you know, it wouldn't help Willie McCullers at all, because if an end goes down, they'll replace him with an end, and McCullers is not that guy. So, you know, his path to the roster would be beating out Walton, but I don't see how that's going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Some other things John Mitchell had to say, and you know, if you know John Mitchell over the years, he doesn't heap praise that much on players. I mean, really gush about him. Now he'll say positive things about him, but he's also not afraid to point out, you know, negatives when it comes to his players, especially the young players as well too. How much hyperbole you want to read into it, you know, be my guess, but he really seems to like Tyson Alulu, in reference going all the way back to liking him way back in, what was it, 2010, coming out of Cal and saying obviously the Steelers couldn't get him in the draft that year because he went so high to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But he went on to say, you know, you have a veteran ball player like him who's played in the league, who came out with a great resume. Mitchell went on to say he's a big, big addition to us, and then went on to say, you know, we've been talking for a couple of years now, how nice it would be to alleviate some of the snaps that Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt have to play during the game, not only to keep them fresher later in games, which I thought it was smart for Mitchell to later say in his interview that, you know, how often games are won in the final 5 minutes and how important it is to have your best players out on the field fresh at the time. And, you know, mm-hmm. he pretty much laid it out how he would like things to go, and obviously how you like things can go don't necessarily end up that way. But he said, you know, if they can play Tuitt and Hayward 50 plays a game and get Tyson 25 and get LT Walton 25, they'll be a better team. And for, you know, especially when you look at a 16-game season, you know, late in December and early January, you want your horses ready to go. And if those guys are not beat up, they're going to be a lot more productive. Now, that all looks good on paper. I could definitely see a guy like Tyson Alulu potentially getting, you know, 15 to 25 snaps a game. I do, however, think it's going to be tough to get a guy like LT Walton 25, you know, snaps a game. You know, maybe you get him 5, 6, 7 snaps a game, but you know, what did you think about his overall thoughts on Tyson Alulu?
Well, I thought that the praise was indicative of what Alulu's done in camp. And, you know, I mentioned this, I think, back on day two, or I think it was day three, actually, Dave. You know, his effort to the football and how relentless he was in his ability to chase, you know, across the field. And I heard Cam Hayward talking the other day to Steelers.com, commenting on, you know, Alulu and how he's got good effort in that motor, which we both know is what John Mitchell absolutely loves and requires, demands from any defense alignment to be on the Pittsburgh Steelers as defense alignment. You have to run to the football. So that was, I'm sure, endeared himself to Mitchell, you know, right away. But his play otherwise has been good. He's got heavy hands, a good punch. He's got a better first step than maybe what I remember when I was looking him over when the Steelers signed him in the offseason. And you can definitely see this guy getting a lot of time. Now, I agree with you, and that's where I was going to go with it, Dave, that 25 snaps for LT Walton is unlikely to happen and probably shouldn't happen. But if you can give Alulu that 25, Hargrave playing some nickel work as well to spell Hayward to it and give Hargrave some well-deserved snaps, you know, as well. We don't want Hargrave as just a base nose tackle. Then everyone's going to be fresher. You're going to keep the talent level high. And like you said, whether it's late game or late in the season, you know, your top dogs, Hayward and Tuitt, are going to be fresh. And like you said, they're going to be a much better team because of it.
What would you say to the reader or listener that would say all this is just John Mitchell, you know, tons of blowing smoke here? What else is Mitchell going to say about Alulu and the fact that Alulu didn't do anything really in the first 7 seasons with Jacksonville makes you wonder why they didn't re-sign him. And there you go. The Steelers picked him up off the trash heap.
Well, I'd say two things. One, there's no more brutally honest and candid coach than John Mitchell. If you're screwing up, he'll tell the world about it. You know, there's no filter on him. So if he had a problem with Alulu, he'd say it. You know, he called out Dan McCullers in the offseason. He's done it in the past, describing rookie draft picks. This is where he wins. This is where he's got to, you know, work on. With Hargrave, you know, he liked Hargrave a lot, obviously, but said we got to teach Hargrave how to run to the football. And mission accomplished already in year one. To Alulu, yeah, he never lived up to the billing to be a top 10 pick. You know, I think that's clear. But Jacksonville did, you know, re-sign him over the times. He played there for, like you said, what, 6, 7 years. And, you know, he's a better fit as maybe a backup rotational piece. Yeah, he was never a superstar, but he can work as, you know, he can thrive in the role in Pittsburgh, and it's a different role than what he had in Jacksonville. So, you know, it was still a solid career in Jacksonville to play 7 years in the league at a pretty consistent level with the, you know, durability that he showed. I think those are all huge things in his corner. So he's having a good camp, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, it was the best, you know, defensive lineman pickup of the recent ones the Steelers have had.
And I would agree because – and that's – unfortunately, though, that's not hard to
– It's a low bar.
that's a low bar when you think of the Cam Thomases and the geez, help me out here.
Well, there was Ricardo Matthews last year.
Ricardo Matthews, yeah.
Tomlin's mentioned Kershke and Neeson in the past, some other signings they've had.
Right, right. At least Alulu does have some pedigree with him. And, you know, he's 30 years old. He's never missed a game due to injury. That's another plus with him. Would you view him as a better run defender or a better pass rusher?
I would still, you know, lean run defender, but I think he's a well-rounded guy, at least from what I've seen in Jacksonville and then definitely what I've seen in camp. He's a tough guy to move. He's got good length, strong at the point of attack. I think he plays with good leverage. You know, I think he's more of a power guy as a pass rusher. He's not going to really be finesse, which is fine, but he's got the heavy hands that he can maybe get some, you know, interior pressure, but he's probably not going to ever whoop a guy cleanly the way a Javon Hargrave or Stephon Tuitt might.
In a perfect world, is it as I laid out, a guy like Alulu, 10 to probably 20 snaps a game, and then, you know, go from there? In other words, keep a rotation of really your four guys, Hargrave, Tuitt, Hayward, and Alulu, and maybe get Walton in there for four or five plays?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get Alulu 25 that Mitchell said, because I think he's going to be the top backup at both defensive end spots. So if Hayward and, you know, Tuitt are missing 15 plays a game, you know, there could be a chance for, you know, good amount of snaps for Alulu to pick up. You know, it just depends on how the rotation exactly is going to work. You know, that's stuff to get in the weeds about, but I think you're generally on the right track. Yeah, Lulu is going to be the top defensive end, you know, lefty end, righty end, is backing up Hayward into it. Walton might get a little bit of burn behind Hargrave, but Hargrave's going to get his nickel snaps as well. So I think that's generally on the right track.
All right, let's go even deeper down the depth chart, being as how we're talking defensive line, and let's assume, which is always dangerous to do, that McCullers gets cut and Maxey makes the 53. Who then becomes your top, maybe, you know, we don't know if they're going to keep one or two defensive linemen. You have a 10-man practice squad to work with. Is a guy like LaVon Hooks, I mean, how's he looking? And is there any other young defensive lineman or two that you'd say, okay, these guys are legitimate practice squad candidates?
Yeah, you know, remember Hooks missed the first 4 days. I thought he's shown some flashes running second team left defensive end. Hooks has some versatility. He can play the nose, play the three. I think maybe play a little bit on, you know, as the four eye, the five technique, you know, more towards the outside over tackle. You know, Francis Callan, obviously they did not cut Callan when they made their last roster move. They cut Nelson Adams, and Callan showed up in my notes a little bit more the last couple of days. Obviously there's a you know, upside factor, a size, athleticism factor that, you know, is kind of in the same vein as Alejandro Villanueva, where it's a super raw guy that you kind of have to build from the ground up, but maybe there is some talent there. Or they could go outside the organization, too. We've seen that in the past as well. So there's not really one, I think, you know, clubhouse leader for that practice squad spot right now. I think games will tell us a lot of that story when you get a lot more reps than what some of these guys will get during team session. But I could see a Callan. I could see a Hoax. Those are certainly, you know, possibilities.
All right, now let's get anything else you want to cover news-wise before we get into talking about let's do this real quick. You know, during the Sunday night practice, AAB evidently schooled Ross Cockrell. I'm assuming that was a one-on-one one-on-one drill when that happened there, and AB, you know, reportedly went over and told Artie Burns, "You got to get out here because I'm basically killing Cockrell." And, you know, Cockrell, I guess, not too many feet away when that happened. A lot of people, Matthew Marksey wrote about that, and boy, the comments are just going crazy in that post right now. A lot of people upset, saying AB, you know, shouldn't trash talk like that. And My view on it is how much trash talk goes on during practices that never gets reported, whether offensive lineman saying, you better get someone else in here because I'm schooling this guy or whatnot. This is all overblown, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of nonsense, Dave. I'm sure Clark was more hurt by the fact that he got destroyed, and yes, he got destroyed, than any words AB could have said. AB chirps everybody. He chirps Burns. Guys go after it with each other. I'm sure if you mic some of these guys up, you'd have to have the bleep ready a lot, I'm sure. But that's probably very tame for what some of the trash talk during training camp is. But Burns has done well against AB, and obviously AB is going to get his and is going to win in some spectacular ways. But I posted the stats, but when Burns was in there and B basically always shadowed Antonio Brown, AB was 11-22 with no touchdowns. And Cocker over the last 2 days since Burns has been out, I think AB is 6-8. With two touchdowns. So you see the difference right away. And one, that speaks to, I think, the level of progress Artie Burns has made. There's a way we can kind of quantify that and say this didn't happen last year. AB's catch percentage is actually still pretty low against, Artie Burns. AB's catching 50% of his passes. Last year, Brown caught like 75%. Now, Burns missed a lot of camp, so we can't necessarily make a one-to-one comparison, but you get the point. I mean, Burns is showing a lot of progress, and even – it's even surprising me a little bit how much he has progressed. I expected Burns to get better, as any second-year guy wouldn't, as raw as he was coming out of Miami. But I think how quickly he's shown some progression, at least so far in these, for him, 7 training camp practices, has been really impressive.
Boy, Ross Cockrell is the whipping boy, it seems, right now. And look, I mean, nobody's going to make a play for Ross Cockrell deserving to go to the Pro Bowl, the last couple season and a half or whatnot, just based off of some yards per coverage snaps from Pro Football Focus. Cockrell, however, has had some good moments. Now, he obviously should have had more, in my opinion, a few more interceptions. Then he had over the last almost 2 full seasons here. He needs to do a better job, and he's even admitted he's got to do a better job with his eyes, getting that head around and staying in phase and all. But it's not like he's been awful on top of it. Now, is he the future past the 2017 season? Probably not. Will he even remain the starter throughout the 2017 season? I think it all depends on a guy like maybe Cameron Sutton or whatever,
Sensabaugh.
or Sensabaugh, what happens there. But man, people always like to pick a cornerback out and go at him after him. And I bet right now William Gay is said, "Hey, bud, better you than me."
And I'm sure Ike Taylor at camp is like, "Yeah, that used to be me," several years ago. Cockrell, yeah, he's had a good camp. He's made some positive plays, and his tackling's improved. He does play the pocket well, I think, middle of the field, some of those shorter to intermediate routes. So I think the Cockrell hate is a little too much. And I'm sure the plan when Burns got drafted was that if Burns can become the number one shadow cornerback, that was the goal there. And then Cockrell can be a very solid number two guy. And I think that's kind of how things are shaping up right now. So don't get too much hate on Ross Cockrell. I don't think that's founded.
And make no mistake, Sutton and Cinquez Golson, the time missed now during training camp has become extensive and worrisome for both those guys. There's no way around it. I mean, I understand these guys were off-season participants and all like that, but Sutton at this point, there's absolutely no way he's going to start the season as a starter at any position. He's going to have to contribute on special teams, and if you can somehow start getting him on the field week 8 on or something like that, fantastic. A guy like Golson, we've said it several times, and Carnell Lake laid it out, several times. Not only does the kid have to show he can stay healthy, but he's going to have to contribute on special teams as well, too. And when you start looking also at game day inactives and how one guy's, if they keep, let's say they keep 6, there's a good chance maybe one of those guys doesn't dress. look, Sutton's making a team. There's no two ways about it. Golson, as we've known for some time, is not a lock, and the longer he stays off this field right now, Kevin Colbert's got to be pulling whatever hair he has left out.
It's not much for Colbert, poor guy. Yeah, it's not worrisome necessarily for Sutton for me, you know, just because, you know, he's making this team, like you said. For Golson, it would be incredibly worrisome because he needs every single practice, every single rep that he can soak up. And, you know, for Golson to be a gunner, it's going to be a tough spot to crack because if they keep DHB, that's one of your guys. Juju might get some work there. You know, Mike Hilton has done well. They're going to have a lot of other options that they can go to. Cam Sutton, of course, you know, he's a guy that would fit that bill, you know, whenever he gets healthy and back on the field. But yeah, you know, you hope those guys get back soon. They're making small progress. It could still be another week for them. And, you know, that's obviously terrible news for a guy like Golson.
All right, let's get into practice from Sunday night. And obviously, with it being at Heinz Field, I don't think you had the best vantage point, you know, as far as, you know, height up in the stands, probably like you do over at St. Vincent College. But you were still able to see quite a few things, you know, nonetheless. You know, pick us out some highlights from the offensive line.
For the offensive line, Chris Hubbard, you know, maybe not a highlight, but something to note that he was working pretty extensively as a tight end, or what do you want to call it, tackle eligible. Even whenever they broke into, you know, positional groups, he wasn't with the offensive line. He was with the tight ends and James Daniel going through some of the zone blocking and cutoff block drills that they were working on. And he got some of those reps in team sessions as well. So you're still going to probably see some of that this year. And I get that it's not everyone's favorite. Obviously, it makes you more limited as a, you know, as a predictability factor. You know, you're not going to really have him run any routes. He's not going to be a passing threat. But it's becoming very popular in the NFL because, you know, the college tight ends aren't there. The spread offense is sapping guys of, you know, tight ends that play in a three-point stance. You have to be creative and turn to the sixth offensive lineman. So Pittsburgh has. Oakland's done that a ton with Vidal, Alexander, and, you know, there's several teams that have done it. So you're going to see Hubbard continue to get work there. Trying to think other stuff that's really popped out. Kyle Friend had a kind of a bad practice. Walton ate him up a little bit. We'll get to that a little bit later. Again, Mike Mannes continues to miss. Jake Rogers has some length and is an athlete, but that's going to be obviously a tough position for him to crack. I think that's kind of the highlights that I have.
Finney get a lot of work at center, I'm guessing, Sunday night.
Yeah, first team center. I think Hargrave blew him up once. You know, Finney's still struggling, you know, somewhat against some of the first team guys, but just, you know, to be expected. It's hard to win consistently when you're going against Hayward and Hargrave and guys like that. Yeah, they didn't do they did some one-on-ones, but there was, well, it was like two-on-twos. They were working on stunt pickups, so I usually don't chart those notes because it's more about technique than it is dominating your man. So I don't have a ton of notes for the offensive line.
How's let's move to tight end. How's David Johnson looking? Every time I see pictures of him, I go back to when he was with the Steelers the first time. He looks physically like a different player than he did the first time around. I mean, is this a guy that we can obviously just go ahead and write and pin that he's going to be on this 53 this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the best blocking tight end the team has. And I always forget, and I have to remind myself, Dave, that he has incredible length for how short he is. He's only 6'2", I believe, but he has something like 33 3/4 inch arms, which is just ridiculous length. I think that's an asset both in run blocking and in pass protection. He's going to make the team. I mean, he's still David Johnson. He's the same dude, a blocker, first, second, and third. But, you know, you have to value those guys. And when Grimble not being the best blocker, Johnson's going to make it, absolutely.
And he's a backup fullback to Roosevelt Nix as well, too. I mean, you know, the more you can do, that's why, I mean, ever since they signed him to a two-year contract back in the offseason, that's probably all you needed to know right there when it comes to Johnson being on this 53-man roster. Fazan Odom, any update on him?
He's getting better as a blocker on the sleds, at least, but he's still dropping too many passes to get into his frame. He does have good hands when he's able to get, you know, get his hands away from his body, and obviously he has a big catch radius because he's a 6'7" tight end, but still too many into his frame. Practice squad material, he's not making the 53.
Okay, you know, running backs, we had a nightmare Sunday night.
Yeah, I think either Tomlin jinxed the running backs or he challenged the defense, reminded them of this fact that I don't know if there had been a fumble in camp by running back in team session until last night, and then there were three. So I guess what's the old saying? It comes in threes. Brown Dukes fumbled two. Watson fumbled one. It was good defensive work. Good, you know, job by guys to rally to the football. You know, first guy wrapped up, second guy go for the hit and the fumble. But a guy like Brandon Brown Dukes, while he has gotten a good deal of carries, I said it before, I don't really see anything special in his game. You see some attractive traits with Terrell Watson and Trey Williams and, you know, two fumbles for Brown Dukes, that's not going to cut it.
No, it's not. Definitely not. Okay, quarterbacks. Dobbs got a lot more work, and that's probably going to be your starter against the Giants, right?
Yeah, unless they give Ben a series or two, which did Ben play in the first game last year when you were going back in Washington? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but keep talking.
But yeah, even if Ben plays, it'll be a series or two, and Dobbs is going to get the majority of the work. I'm very confident Landry Jones is not going to play, so you know Dobbs will probably go probably into the third quarter, I'm guessing, and then Bart Houston will do mop-up duty, you know, for the fourth quarter or something. So a huge, you know, stage for Dobbs to get some work with. I assume at least maybe some of the starters that stay in, or some of the, you know, guys like Juju that maybe aren't, you know, full-blown starters, but are clearly talented. They're not, you know, 90th guy on the roster types. Quarterback, yeah, you know, Dobbs was running, what, two-minute drill, hit and miss there. You know, he's making good decisions. His ball placement, his accuracy might wane a little bit. Not much else to really note there, I guess. I mean, we've kind of really talked about that position a ton. I do want to go back to running back for 2 seconds. I thought Terrell Watson showed some good things, fumble aside, on the goal line work and the short yardage drill. The last rep, he was, you know, Golden got under him, and you know, you should have been taken down in that sense. But Watson was able to spin off of him and roll into the end zone. So I've kind of, you know, thought about Watson becoming a practice squad running back. I think he has the size and a little bit of, you know, athletic ability and return, you know, threat that could see him, you know, get a home on the practice squad.
He could be that guy that bounces on and off the practice squad whenever they need, you know, a spot or two. I can't remember. Seems to me he was one of the ones I put on my roster prediction here this last time around. I obviously know I keep at least one running back every year. I think he was one. I'll have to look back on that. Ben did not play in the preseason opener last year against Detroit. It was Landry Jones started, and then Gronkowski. And remember, wasn't that the game that Gronkowski hurt his hamstring on? In that game, and then Dustin Vaughn came in and mopped up. Houston versus Vaughn.
Are you asking who's better?
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's a question that
ever asked.
It's a question that won't mean a damn thing in another few weeks, but.
I think Vaughn had a little better arm. You know, Houston's obviously improved, which is what you would expect, you know, once you know, in your ninth practice. But just some of the stuff of getting to the huddle, getting set up, you know, the miscommunication that there's been has been at a high level, even for understanding that Houston's, you know, an undrafted free agent or rookie. Those mistakes are going to happen. I can only imagine what's going to happen in-game when you don't have Todd Haley 5 feet away from you to look over if you ever have an issue. So I would say Vaughn is better, and I think Houston might only get the fourth quarter in the first preseason game, because I just don't know if you have the level of trust to let him run an offense for too long without some big mistakes happening. And of course, you want to get an extensive look at Josh Dobbs as well.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to let Randy Feetner run out there with that card.
Yeah, I don't think Feetner can be the 12th man. That's funny.
You know what I'm hoping for. I want to see Dobbs play at least the first half. I mean, why not? You know,
I think if we lay this out, he's probably going to play into the third quarter, right? No Ben, no Landry. You have two quarterbacks left. One of them's Bart. I think Dobbs is going to play maybe 3 quarters.
And I've already said he's going to rip it up. He's going to tear it up, and Steeler fans are going to go absolutely bonkers when he's going to rip off some. Now, of course, this is a same kind of predictions. I think who was that kid that running back a few years ago that said is going to rip it up in that first preseason game? He got injured and didn't even make it to the first preseason game. So you know, don't definitely don't take any of my predictions to the bank. But Dobbs is going to rip off something like a 60-yard run. Probably complete something like 61% of his passes, maybe a touchdown or two, and Steeler fans are going to be wanting a full-blown backup quarterback controversy at that point. But
get ready. Get pumped.
We'll see. All right, the wide receiver. You know, obviously, wonder what's going on with Ayers. You know, a guy that you just – You don't want him missing any practice time right now. Last year, wasn't he the one with the ankle early on during the preseason, missed some time? Yep. And if he's going to make a run at that roster, it's going to be as a punt returner, and he better get out there, you know, in a hurry. Would you expect, regardless if Ayers gets out there, would you expect a pecking order to go Rodgers and then Ayers when it goes to punt returns?
I think Ayers would start it off. Well, I think he should. Rodgers has, for whatever it's worth, been the first man in the punt return drills, but, you know, in camp, that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. Yeah, Ayers just has to get ready for the game, because you can't win a punt return job at training camp. You know, it has to be done in a stadium. There's no way you can replicate that in a Latrobe practice. So hopefully he's okay. I didn't even see the guy yesterday, so I'm not sure what the nature of the injury is, or, you know, have any sort of idea of how serious it is. But certainly any missed game for him is huge, just for any, you know, guy fighting for a spot, but especially a guy like him, a special teamer who has to show something there to get AB off of there. And, you know, Eli Rogers, I'm sure, will get some work as well. I mean, Ayers has had a good camp. He's got really good hands, being able to, you know, climb the ladder, find the football. He's a tough guy that can make some combative catches, which is something you wouldn't expect for a small guy like him, but he definitely can do it. He can play the X position. He can play in the slot. But, yeah, he's got to get some work out there. Other guys to note, Justin Hunter has been a little quiet lately. I think he's, since practices 5 through 9, he's something like 4 of 10, you know, catches to targets, and with no touchdowns after catching 4 touchdowns his first 4 practices. So he did miss one day, the Friday Night Lights practice, but a little quiet. The Justin Hunter bandwagon is simmering down just a tiny bit.
You expect to see a lot of Juju Smith-Schuster Friday night, right?
Yeah, a ton. Playing maybe the whole game, because he needs those reps. You have to get an evaluation of this guy, but he continues to impress. A guy that locates the football well, doesn't make any catch too difficult, always, you know, goes out there with 2 hands, plays with good technique, quick to the duck. His body control, ability to find the football, adjust to it, is really unique for a rookie. I can't state that enough. You know, how he's able to adjust to poorly thrown passes in the preseason. It's probably going to be a lot of poorly thrown passes. So he's having a really, you know, good start to camp.
Anything to Kane and Severn or Marcus Tucker this time around in camp?
Severin's hauled in a couple of touchdowns, but I don't see much in terms of his ability to separate. You know, doesn't have any straight line speed. Probably not going to be too good underneath, so I don't see much there. Tucker, I can see a little bit of that with. Hopefully he gets some burn in the preseason. But, you know, what do you think is going to happen in the practice squad at wide receiver? Because obviously, you know, 53 is the main topic of discussion, but some of those guys are going to filter down to the practice squad. What do you think could happen there?
I think Ayers is destined to go there.
What do you think his chances to make the 53 are then? You think there's no chance or slim chance?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't bet my house, you know, that he won't make the 53, but, I mean, I would bet against him for sure right now. I mean, you make a good point for potentially keeping 7, but how many of those guys are you going to dress and, you know, keep going?
Yeah, you dress 6.
I mean, you just keep going back to the same thing with Ayers. I mean, he's got to be able, that far down the depth chart, he's got to be able to contribute on special teams. And, is he a guy that could potentially get plucked off the waiver wire after initial cutdowns? I mean, we talk about it every year. I mean, one or two guys league-wide get plucked off the final cuts, and it's normally because special teams ability, you know? Now, obviously, later on in the season, it's a different story when teams are out of it and they're starting to already look forward to getting guys under contract for the next year there. But I think Ayers, you know, to the practice squad makes a lot of sense. I'm still betting on this team keeping 6 wide receivers in total. Does Kobe Hamilton have any value to you as a practice squad player at this point?
Yeah, I think you could, just for the familiarity. You know, if the injuries happen like they did last year, you know, I think he's someone you could bring right up and have confidence in. His camp has not been very good, but practice squad makes sense. All right, Dave, let me ask you this. Ayers doesn't make it. Who's your punt returner week 1 against Cleveland?
AB.
Still AB? Okay.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Team's not going to like it. Tomlin's not going to be happy with you.
Fans aren't going to like it either, probably, but I mean, you got to get your guy back. I mean, Tomlin's just not going to hand this over to a rookie or a second-year player, I don't think, that hasn't earned it. And,
sure.
And I mean, we'll see what Eli and maybe Harris can do during the preseason. But I mean, those are the only two candidates, right? I mean, you're not going to put Cameron Sutton back there.
No. You know? Yeah, it's either Rodgers or Harris, and I would lean towards Harris. But of course, he's got to be in stadiums to do that.
Okay. Who are your opening? Who you come out 11 personnel against the New York Giants Friday night? Who are your three wide receivers?
Are we assuming AB plays, or am I addressing AB in this scenario?
Well, I'm leaving it up to you there.
Oh man,
you're Coach Tomlin here. Do you have to get Antonio Brown on the field for a few plays, and if Martavis, guy we haven't even talked about the latest news on him, the Steelers hope that this week will be the week. But until that, we've been talking about this for 2 weeks now. When it happens, it happens. Then we'll start talking about it more. But let's say that Martavis starts practicing Tuesday and Wednesday, Coach Tomlin. Are you going to put Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant out on that field against the Giants?
No to both. AB does need that work, and Martavis, I want to get him some more practices before throwing him into a game. So I guess my three would be Kobe Hamilton as the Z, DHB as the X, and Eli in the slot.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and that's going to upset people, I think. But the sheer fact, I think Hamilton just gets that experience nod.
Oh, actually, you know, I forgot. I totally blanked on Justin Hunter. Hunter would start over Kobe.
I think Hamilton starts, just gets that nod, just because. And people
really? You
yeah,
think?
Yeah,
Hunter's been running over Hamilton all the camp, though.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think, you know, we give Hunter something to shoot for there. You know,
okay. Tough love.
Whatever happens, don't read too much into any of the pecking order.
Right, exactly. It's all about performance than the pecking order. Pecking order will change.
But obviously excited to see Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, your reports on him since he returned from that ankle injury. This guy's a real deal.
Yeah, he's been really impressive. And again, 20 years old, which is the part of just I can't get over how young he is and how mature he plays.
Okay, defensive side of football. We already talked a little bit about Lulu and Walton, but what other notes do you want to, you know, who did some winning Sunday night?
Well, it was really the nose tackles. You know, it was Hargrave, it was Walton who were blowing up several runs. I thought the defensive line really dominated the Steelers, you know, offensive line, especially the second teamers. Lulu continued to impress. I don't have a whole lot beyond that. Francis Callen's popping up in my notes a little bit more. I think he did get one pressure on a Dobbs pass. I think that's the bulk of it, though. I think we've covered that group pretty good today.
Okay, outside linebacker, Bud Dupree, obviously sidelined. We're probably not going to see him Friday night, right? I mean, he would have to get back out there Tuesday and Wednesday, and no sense to rush him right now, even though we'd all like to see him out there, you know, in that game. James Harrison, we already talked about him. If he plays at all, it's going to be 6 or 7 snaps, and we're obviously going to see a lot of T.J. Watt and Anthony Chiclo. Are you burning both those guys the first half?
I think you have to right now, because let's assume Harrison either doesn't play or plays like a series. Let's assume Keon Adams is still out, which I'm almost positive he won't play against the Giants. You have three healthy outside linebackers right now. You got Moats, you got Chick, and you have TJ Watt. So those guys are going to be playing the entire game just in a rotation, because right now you don't have a choice, you know.
Are you surprised they didn't sign one yesterday?
A little bit. That may have been one reason why Harrison was also in pads, getting some extra work in just for the bodies. But that could still happen, because, you know, if Adams doesn't perk up, I mean, Harrison's not going to play much. You know, do you want to go a whole game with just three outside linebackers? Does someone get hurt, or, you know, someone, you know, just that is not up to conditioning? You know, you don't want them out there if they're playing, you know, dog attire like that. So I don't know. I think they should make a move, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they did, because you don't want to have what happened last year against Carolina, I think, where they ran out of outside linebackers and he had to play like a 4-3, and it was just a complete mess. So I think a fourth guy would I don't know if you'd play week one, but you wouldn't have that extra guy for practice.
And, you know, I guess you could. I wouldn't advise it, maybe. I guess you could throw L.J. Ford on the outside there.
It's a good idea. That's a good idea. He's lined up there a little bit in some situational third down stuff. So, and he's done that in the past. That makes sense.
Yeah, and he can destroy some running backs coming off of the edge or twisting inside, that kind of thing. Let's hope it doesn't get. Let's hope Keon Adams gets back on the field Tuesday and Wednesday. That's what everybody's hoping for because once again, these young guys fighting for roster spots like this. I mean, you can't even impress on special teams if you're not out there. And Danny Smith is not going to. Danny Smith wants to see a lot of tape on you during the preseason as a special teamer if he's going to bang on that table for you.
Absolutely. Adams is in a similar boat as Ayers right now. Special teams, your path. You got to do it in game. Practice isn't going to cut it.
All right, speaking of inside linebacker, are you still leaning towards four or five guys right now? And how is Fortin? And I keep seeing Stevie Johnson's name pop up here and there.
Yeah, he's doing well. I still think Fort's been a little bit better. Matakevich definitely better. I'm not sure where I'm at on four or five. Probably four, but I haven't, especially if I'm going to keep seven receivers. I'm going to probably do my new 53-man roster prediction for Tuesday morning before I leave for camp. So I'll have to make those decisions later tonight. I'm still leading four though, because I think nine is a fine number to have, especially if you know your fifth outside linebacker who would probably be active and get some special teams work.
True or false? Matt Galambos will lead the Steelers in total tackles against the Giants.
I mean, the easy answer is false, I guess. So I'll say false because that's where the easy money would be. And anybody else, Galambos had a really good day yesterday, though. I'm glad that you mentioned him. But Columbus did well. He forced a fumble, recovered another. Just guy that's kind of always around the football. I think he's a little better athlete, but Columbus makes some splash plays, has some physicality to his game. One other linebacker I want to mention on the outside, TJ Watt. Again, just from an effort standpoint and a backside pursuit standpoint, I think he's done a really good job there, being able to run to the football. He beat a backside cutoff block by Jake McGee in team session yesterday and then forced a fumble on Brown Duke. So, I think Watt's working on his ability to bend at the top of the arc. You know, we've seen him and Bud and James Harrison, you know, rep that after practice, and they were just working in one-on-one drills. It was two-on-two, the stunt work, but I watched TJ Watt rip under Jake Rogers and get upfield. So you're seeing some of the things that get worked on post practice apply itself to, you know, a practice setting. So I think Watt continues to, one, is just work ethic's really good. His effort and hustle to the football is strong, and you know you're seeing some of the extra work he's putting in pay off in drills.
You will not have any points deducted if you get this question wrong, and
oh, thank goodness!
And nor will your paycheck be docked.
That's the part I'm more worried about.
Who led the Steelers in tackles last year in the preseason opener against the Detroit Lions?
Do you know this answer, or did you look it up?
I've got the game book in front of
okay.
me.
Hey, I don't know. You have the crazy memory. You can remember.
I remember a lot of stuff, but I am getting older, and there was a lot of drug use still that popped up.
Okay, I took a turn.
And alcohol that occasion. I'm good. I'm not that good.
Stay in school, kids.
Don't do drugs either.
Give me a hint. Is it an obscure name or is it like a more common name?
Put it this way, a lot of people were excited about this kid after the game.
Okay, well, I can't even think of where I would go with a name. Trying to think back to some of the guys that didn't make the roster last year. Wasn't that Dan? What was his name? There was a guy named Dan, 45, a white linebacker. No. I don't remember.
Durant Grant.
Did he? Did he have an interception that game?
He sure did. That was for a touchdown, too, right? Wasn't that the pick six?
I think it was. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. How many tackles did he have?
Seven total tackles.
Nice.
In that game, six unassisted, one assisted in that game. I don't have one special teams tackle in that game too. But remember coming out of that game, people being kind of excited about Durant Grant, and it went south.
Yeah, and now he's north out in Buffalo, right?
Yeah. That didn't work out. No, he's actually isn't he with Jacksonville now?
Is he? He was with Buffalo, originally, I guess, last year. Is he in Jacksonville now? You tweeted something out today. I can't remember.
Right. I think the Patriots are scrimmaging the Jaguars today.
Okay.
And I think he had an interception in practice there, if I'm not mistaken.
So if you're a Jacksonville fan, Steeler fans have seen this story before. Don't get too excited.
He is with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. So
better than who was that? Creston Butler?
You posted? Oh Lord! Did you see that?
Yeah, that was
a Twitter follower got this kind of obscure out of nowhere. Did you see the play Creston Butler had in that CFL game? And I immediately went to searching some video and found he ran right into the goalpost. Poor guy. remember that guy had a nice a decent preseason. That what was it? His final year, I think. I don't remember if that was his rookie, if he was one or done or not, but he made, seemed like he missed some time early with an injury. Why is it these young cornerbacks always seem to miss some time during the rookie seasons with hammies or quads or something
like
that?
Don't know how to take care of their body. That's a big thing.
And I remember Creston had an interception along the sideline or something. I forget who it was, a safety or something, made a nice play, knocked it back in bounds or something like that, and Creston made a nice play, and it just went south. As it does with several drafted cornerbacks of the Steelers. Speaking of cornerbacks, Brian Allen, you talked about how you're liking his play against the run and all. How's he doing when it comes to wide receivers leaning on him a little bit?
Yeah, the coverage is definitely a huge area of work for him. Just understanding, receiver stems in their routes and not always biting on the first move. You know, receivers are going to lie to you. I'm sorry for this. Is there hammering in the background? Do you hear that, Dave?
Yeah, it sounds like mom's working on the basement or something.
I don't know. It's like the neighbor. He's been doing this since like 10:30. I don't know what he's – I think he's breaking into my house. So we may interrupt ourselves for a robbery attempt. I apologize for people listening to that. My house is just full of random noises. Anyway, back to Brian Allen. In coverage, receivers are going to lie to you. I remember one-on-one rep with Juju Smith-Schuster where, Smith-Schuster had an outside fake and Allen bit, and then he came back to the inside. The receiver did and beat him over the top to the left corner of the end zone. Just things as I've talked about, Allen staying in phase. You can look back for the football when you're in phase, but when you're out of phase and you're in trail technique and you're a little behind, you have to work to get back in phase, play the eyes and the hands of the receiver, swipe down through the pocket, play the pocket, and finish the play that way. And I think, Allen still prefers to look back for the football, that wide receiver background, his ability in college to use his length and his size and athleticism to his advantage. It's not going to always cut it in the NFL. So very much just in a broad sense, he needs to work on his technique. But like I said, his run fits are strong. His ability to set the edge, force the run back inside. He's showing some traits as a tackler. I mean, he's a willing tackler, which is really important. So some good, some bad. He is improving, though, so that's certainly something to be optimistic about.
New cornerback Ja'Cory Shepherd. I take it he got quite a few one-on-one reps last night, or a few at least. Some takeaways from him after a couple practices now?
Yeah, you can see some athleticism, the leaping ability, ability to find the football, high point it. He's just been grabby at the line of scrimmage. There was one where he just mauled Kobe Hamilton. He finished the rep by breaking it up, but, it was definitely at least a holding call at the best case scenario. He's gotten some right corner reps. I guess as long as Ducre's out, he'll continue to get some work, but I don't have a whole lot on him. Interesting background, though, as we talked about yesterday.
Guy, you think maybe driver's seat for a potential practice squad spot right now?
Shepherd?
Yeah.
It's probably way too early to think about that. I like what Brandon Dixon has done. I like what Greg Ducre has done. I think those guys are almost positive. They both still have practice squad eligibility. I'd rather have one of those guys right now over Shepherd.
Some of them guys are going to get a lot of burn Friday night, aren't they?
Yeah, let's see. What Burns, I don't think he's going to play. Cockerell probably doesn't need a lot of snaps. Gaze, I doubt he's even going to suit up. So, Mike Hilton's going to play a lot. Dixon's going to see a ton of time. Ducre, if he's able to play, he's still been missing time. Hopefully he can get out there. If he can get out there Tuesday, I think he can play against the Giants. But, yeah, a lot of burn for some of these backups.
So we're going to see Sensabaugh on the outside. Who's going to be opposite him most of the game? Brian Allen?
That's a good question. Burns, no Cockerell. Could be Allen, could be Dixon. I'm missing somebody. Yeah, I don't know. It could be either Dixon or Brian Allen.
And then I guess Shepard will get some burn in that game as well, too, because Sutton's not going to play. Golson's not going to play. Ducray, we'll see what happens with him. Burns, even if he plays, probably ain't going to play a lot. Ross Cockrell, not going to play a lot. Gay, not going to play a lot. that list gets short quick.
Trying to think who's going to play in the slot. Hilton might play in the slot the whole game, especially if Ducray can't go. But we'll see what happens.
Maybe we see, I don't know, let's see. Dixon getting any work in the slot at all, third or fourth team?
No, I've seen Ducray take maybe a couple snaps there, but Dixon's just been on the outside, mostly at left corner.
I wonder if we see Ja'Cory Shepherd get a little slot time.
Do you know if he did that in the past?
Wasn't he with the Eagles? Wasn't that going to be kind of his role there?
I know he's with the Eagles. I don't remember what his role was going to be, though. I don't remember watching him.
Definitely, look, I tell you one thing. We'll have a lot of tape on some young cornerbacks to look at.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
for sure. Okay, inside, let's see. Kelsey, inside, the young undrafted free agent, anything? I mean, we're going to see a lot of him in this game, too, at some point.
Yeah, you could see one of those guys, you know, having the most tackles, like the question you asked earlier. I think Olamos had a good day yesterday. Kelsey's been okay, too. You know, he's able to, you know, I think his play speed is decent, and he's a good tackler, and he's more athletic than Olamos. He can come off the edge and be a little bit more of a presence as a pass rusher. But yeah, Olamos, I thought, had a really good day yesterday.
What about our old buddy Roy Filon? That's one guy that we don't, I don't think we've talked about much.
Yeah, you know, I love Roy Filon. He's just a crazy story. He was in rookie minicamp. It's like a third-year guy. I don't know how that works. He's been able to get off a couple blocks and make a couple plays here and there. But you would expect, as a guy that's been in camp, he knows the system. You would expect him to play a little faster and play with better technique. He's been working third-team right end. It's basically, I guess now with Nelson Adams gone, third-team's been probably Francis Callan, lefty end, McCullers at the nose, and Roy Filon at right the end. So he'll get some play against the Giants, but I think he's just going to be a camp lifer, like almost like Walter Young, the receiver from many years ago.
Oh, boy, that's a blast from the past right
there.
Yeah,
there's a name for you.
Let's see. Not going to see any Mike Mitchell probably against the Giants. If we see Sean Davis, that won't be long. We're going to see a lot of – I mean, how long do you – I mean, you're not going to play Dangerfield and Golden the whole game. So we're probably going to see a lot of, I guess, Jacob Hagan and, I don't know, Malik Golden and Tarish Webb.
Yeah, probably them for the bulk of it. Just like, you know, Dangerfield, I think, probably plays a half, Gold, maybe a quarter. And then, yeah, you have the three guys to go the rest of the way.
All right, any other, you know, kind of overarching thoughts from Sunday night's practice?
It was a really physical practice. I was surprised how far they went into the tackling sessions. Usually they do the first session, maybe the second. Usually seven shots will be live. Usually the second session is a more run-oriented session. They'll do tackling there, and then they're usually done for the day. But even into the, I think, fourth team session, they were still doing live tackling. And then they ended it on the highlight, which was the goal line short yardage work, which the defense won, by the way, 4-3. They had the first team defense dominated. They had stops in the first four plays. The offense scored on the final three. So it was a really physical practice. And at the end of a five-day slog, to go that high tempo and that intensity, you know, I'm sure guys are feeling it today on a much, you know, well-deserved day off. So really intense physical practice, which is cool to see. And then the overarching thought I would have for, you know, we're talking about depth charts and who's going to play where and how much they're going to play, you know, on offense and defense day for the Giants game. But we have to remember special teams as well. I mean, you're going to have some tired legs out there because your lines are going to be short. So we talk about safety. You know, we know in the second half of that game, probably only three guys are going to be playing on defense. You know, Hagan, Golden, Malik Golden, and Tarish Webb. But those guys are still going to be playing on special teams as well. So you're going to have guys that are going to be, you know, playing defense and then go running down a punt or something like that, playing, you know, a jammer on the punt team. So, you know, that's going to really test guys' conditioning and their technique. Because how do you play technique-wise when you're tired? If you've repped it and it's ingrained in your memory, you'll play with good technique. But if you're a little sloppy, you know, if you're not paying attention to detail and then you're tired, your technique's going to wane and you're going to lose because of it. So it's a huge test for these guys. Just can they finish out a game, especially the guys that have never played an NFL game before? Your adrenaline's high. You're getting snaps that you've never had before. You're playing at a different play speed you've never had to play before. How do you do in the fourth quarter when you got to run down a punt, when you're dead tired and you're just begging for the clock to hit zero? Do you still play with technique, intensity, and effort, or do you wilt? That's a huge question that never gets talked about, but one that's critical in the minds of these coaches.
All right, who wore the L?
Who wore the L today? I would say Brown Dukes, which I know we kind of had yesterday as well, but two fumbles and not making really a lot of plays in the run game. That's not going to endear yourself. And I thought Watson did some good things, short yardage, even if he did have the one fumble. Toussaint had a couple of hard, tough runs. Even now, Davis had a strong run on the goal line. He broke out of an Alulu tackle, got creamed by, I think, Vince Williams and stopped short, but you saw some power there. Brown Dukes is not really showing, you know, much of that. And DeMarcus Ayers, man, get on the field, get healthy. Hope he's okay. But we know how important it is for him to be ready for Friday's game against the Giants. And if he isn't, that's a big blow to his chances.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you being the eyes and ears for us once again. And as we said, Steelers off on Monday. Be back at it at St. Vincent College on Tuesday. And you'll be there. I'm not sure yet if Tim Rice will be there with you. But, you know, we'll see. Appreciate all that you guys do in bringing us the great coverage, Alex, for sure. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex at Alex_Kozora. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. Find that donate button upper right navigational bar. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.